Hey guys, it's Tammy and John here from Introspect. Today's episode is all about heart walls, trapped emotions, and the inner saboteur. And this is leading on to we are hosting a Sacred Heart Healing Workshop online via Zoom on Wednesday the 17th of February from 7 till 9 p.m. New Zealand Standard Time. We'll talk about that again at the end, but so we're going to roll on in to start with heart walls. So John, what are heart walls?
So this is the topic of all topics, because our heart space is such an important chakra for us all to be opening. We are currently going through not only the collective shift, but also one of individual awakening within the center. And for any of us that are really interested in doing the ascension, as part of this ascension process and raising our consciousness and vibration, it is the multidimensional center, in terms of a gateway.
It's kind of like our second brain, really, isn't it?
It's actually the first brain.
It's
the first brain, yeah. And for those of you that are into all the research, they've proven that the consciousness of the heart is not only, 2,000 times more powerful than that of the mind, but it's also the intuitive nature of the heart is actually a separate consciousness, which can fire, intuit, and know things before the mental mind can. So
There's been lots of research in the Heart Math Institute, hey?
Yeah, there is, yeah. Yep. And all the Joe Dispenza stuff and the Bruce Lipton stuff and that as well, they're really starting to talk about the heart-mind cohesion. But as I mentioned in a post the other day, it's actually about having the mind as the slave and the heart as the master. So we're all going through this big sort of shift from the ego, intellectual mind into the heart. And as we do, we're all starting to unlock much deeper sense of connection and unity with each other, and also deeper levels of intelligence and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. But first we have to break down these walls that we've built up over decades or generations.
Yeah, that's right. So let's just talk about the heart walls, because it's something that comes up in the sessions every single day, in the healing sessions that I run worldwide. So pretty much on every empath chart that I've done in the last sort of year and a half, 2 years, there have been walls and blocks around the heart or on top of the heart, between heart and expression and that sort of thing. So yeah, let's dive in to discuss what they are and how they're formed.
Yeah.
So for all of us, we've all had life experiences, and if you're into the past life regression and the understanding that we are multidimensional beings, we've been through many lifetimes and experiences where we have had situations that have basically enabled us to put up or build heart walls. So the reason why we form them is because in that time and space, we're not able to process the emotions, or we may not have the support or the tools. We may not have the environment. It might have been too harsh in the time and space, or we might have had something really big like losing a loved one that we just weren't ready for. So, there's all these sorts of reasons, and it doesn't just have to be big traumatic stuff as well. It could be something simple like having a childhood memory of someone teasing you when you're younger.
Yeah.
Or for me, giving a speech in front of the class and feeling really publicly embarrassed or something like that. So, it can be a lot of reasons why we form them. So, yeah, basically, the walls, we generally won't just have one, we'll have many. And it's like a blocked or a trapped emotion. And because we haven't been able to process that emotion, it then starts to build up these layers, and they actually become, instead of the heart chakra being opened and flowing and working with us and actually helping us process what it is that we're experiencing in that time and space, it more becomes a protective mechanism, which basically our mind just takes as, it's not safe to open this, I'm going to now compartmentalize and box up whatever that moment, the people, the environment. A lot of memory goes into our cellular and Akashic memory from each situation. So that's heart walls. So they're basically formed when we don't have the capacity or the support to actually work through that emotion or challenge in the time.
Yeah. So I know that personally I have had my own layers of heart walls that I've slowly been breaking down. And it is really interesting, because as I've become more of an observer of my of myself, I notice when my heart walls go up. And, you know, these are moments when I shut down, or I all of a sudden I have to get out of the situation. I'm too busy. I can't deal with this right now. This topic's too sensitive. And I can actually, you know, like I've actually observed myself going through all of these traits and then allowing myself the capacity to actually drop into that and ask myself, okay, what is this? Why is this so, you know, where's this trauma coming from? Yeah, so it has been, it's been quite an unraveling experience. But the more open my heart has become through healing those layers and dropping those walls, my capacity to love and to receive love is so much more greater.
That's a really good point, actually, because, you know, empathically feeling, you know, anyone, and again, this is me, I'm a reformed people pleaser as well. So anyone that, you know, is the overgiver, the overlover, those that are really heavily entangled in the codependency, running traditional codependent relationships, even when I feel it in the body, like if someone, you know, is overgiving and then blocking receiving, you'll always notice there'll be a block around the shoulder or say the left hand side of the heart if you're right dominant to receiving and that sort of thing. So yeah, our body does really intuitively talk to us, but are we listening, or are we just ignoring it because, you know, we have made excuses, or we're trying to keep up or live up to what is expected of us within our relationships? So this is where we step in, right? Because if we were trying to hit this topic say 5 years ago, I mean, we went together then and we had each had our own individual life experiences of marriage and children.
Yeah, I was so closed 5 years ago. My heart was like batten down the hatches kind of stuff.
Yeah,
there's no room in here for love.
Yeah, me too. And even with my sensitivities, I mean, I didn't really own any of my sensitivities back then, all my gifts, so I was very much the same. It was more like feeling like a victim or a burden of the emotions. And the more we put up those layers, the more we actually shut down that guidance system as well.
Yeah. And it actually decreases the levels of love within relationships as well, which is what I really notice if I look back at how you like so much more closed to, you know, to even the capacity to really fully deeply love.
And I'm sure like there's so many out there listening to this that will understand what we mean about, you know, those relationships where you just, you know, constantly butting heads, no one's really fully taking responsibility or holding a sacred space between you to allow you to work through it. Just more becomes about the ego mind and the battle.
And like maybe every month you hit the same topic and you just feel like it's just this cycle of, you know, we're still on this, this topic again, you know, never actually getting through the layers to actually heal what's there. And you know, it's the collective, especially now, with the way that the world is as well, the heart healing on a collective level is massive too, eh?
It is, and especially like because we're just kind of going back into another level 2 and 3 COVID update here in New Zealand, but I know the rest of the world, even over Christmas,
has been still in lockdown.
Yeah, they've been in level 3 and 4. So what that collectively does as well is, excuse me, by sticking outside of the 2 meters, I mean, our heart, the heart energy or the heart chakra, you know, has sort of at least 3 to 6 foot direction, in each resonance, direction, you know, of our fields. And when we're outside of that field and we're separated from each other, we actually know that we're not getting even that sort of energetic connection that we are all used to on a daily basis. So again, this is why this topic is so important. We hope it reaches you know, many people out there that are really in need, that are in their own isolation at the moment as well.
Yeah, heart connection. Okay, so that's what they are, how they're formed.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the generational stuff, because that's something that we've noticed a little bit with our parents. So we're very, I guess, self-aware.
Yeah.
And again, what have our parents shown us or taught us? Mm. Then what programs and belief systems did they pass down? You know, especially being a male in New Zealand, it's like very much like, don't invest in your health. Mm. Don't invest in, like, if something's broken.
Or just suck it up, right?
Yeah, if something's broken, you don't fix it.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, that instead of being proactive and working through emotions and that sort of thing, we're actually basically wait till the wheel falls off the wagon and then you go seek help. So, you know, even that in itself, that's one of the blocks. That's one of the key programs around the heart space.
Mm.
The inner saboteur side is when we have those trapped emotions and that sort of thing, we basically can't show up to the investment in self, which is the greatest investment.
Which is something that, I mean, I use that excuse, I can't afford that, for so many years. And, you know, and small investments in self, I would allow myself to afford the ones that were a bit more superficial, like, you know, having a facial or whatever. But the deeper level stuff, there was definitely that inner saboteur that would be like, you can't afford that.
Mm.
You can't afford that investment in self.
And that's what's crazy, right? Is, you know, whether it's getting your hair done, going out drinking, going out, like, you know, you can waste, like, go with a group of people to the movies and you can waste easy over 120, 150 bucks just buying popcorn and fizzy drink. And so, you know, it's not that we don't have the money at all.
No, it's just that we're prioritizing realizing that that is a block to self-love.
Yeah. So on an individual level, so we know kind of what's happened in our lifetime, and if we're self-aware, we can see our parents. But I guess another point that we also want to make is on a generational level and in our lineage, there is many programs and patterns. So I will quite often see or feel that running all the way down from like the hip down through like mum and dad's knees and the lower legs at our ability to step forward.
Mm.
So it's interesting when you see these really big energetic pathways being blocked from the heart down through also like sacral, the worth center, and then down through reproductive system down a hip line, because, you know, there's generations of belief systems that are passed on that are not our truth, but because we have not, or our parents haven't shifted or healed, then that then gets passed down to us, basically, to put it simply.
And I think if you think about our grandparents, even you know, like the war times, there was no space for love.
No,
it was survival. It was pure and utter survival, fear. You know, so there wasn't, so there would have been many heart walls go up in that era. Yeah, so like, I mean, my mum has had heart surgery, and I think that when that happened, I really realised how important it was for me to break down these walls, knowing that they have been passed down, and if I don't, you know, heal this, then it's possible that I could end up there too.
And it's interesting, it's a really cool segue as well. It's on the parent side, like, we're both parents, we're doing a blended family and that sort of thing. And, you know, again, every single day I have a lot of mums through in a year, and a lot of them are running the very traditional roles, the very traditional, this is what I do, I'm at home running these patterns and programs of who I should be and how I should show up. Yet none of it's like self-love or looking after themselves. It's all energy out and nothing coming back in to top up their own tank. And again, this is where the walls start. We when our tank's low, or our bucket is basically bottomless, there is no bottom because everyone else has just drained it, then, you know, that's when we get that really low vibration, the really the chronic illnesses, you know, the no energy or motivation to, you know, pick up things that are even kind of expiring, exciting, or that you've always dreamed of doing. So all of those dreams and, you know, get put on the back burner when we're all here to live our greatest life. Yet, you know, if we can't speak up and speak about those deeper emotions and what is some of our dreams and passions, you know, through that heart center as well, then you know, it's just such a waste of opportunity for each of us. So we're always encouraging each other to, you know, regardless of if it is in the family or with children, we're always trying to encourage each other to take little steps forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be massive or, you know, big deal breakers, but, you know, something that makes us feel like we're moving forward because we're all here to grow and learn.
It makes your heart sore, right? Like, it, you know, it could be as simple as like trying art or just any new thing, really. Anything that makes your heart sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about trapped emotions because this ties in.
Directly.
Directly. So how do emotions get trapped in our body?
So, yeah, when we go through those situations like we talked about, every thought and feeling has a vibrational frequency. So what that means is when a body in your biology or your organ system or your digestive system is in natural harmony, everything's functioning and flowing really well. But when we hit a situation where we store the emotions, what will happen is that energy or that disharmonious vibration will lock in and store around a pocket, like, and that could be your digestive system, for example. And then all of a sudden you have things like IBS and gluten intolerances and that sort of thing. So the body will start to talk in a really intelligent way, but if we're not listening, we keep looking towards the practical things as the reason why we are experiencing that. So but I'm always challenging, like, you know, even with you when we met, right? It was like, we had, is it the drinks or is it the food? But I'm just like, no, I don't believe it is. Like, and we it's just energy. Kept showing up like that and kept questioning and listening to our bodies. And as you started to listen more to your body, we started cracking through those layers as well. And it's even on the back of heart too, hey? Like, that's a biggie for a lot of us.
Yeah, I've had a lot of back of heart rashes when I've been releasing layers. And on the front.
So how does that show up? How has that shown up for you? Like, you've had a lot of stuff around your shoulders, your neck, front and back of heart.
Yeah, constantly for many years. And it comes and goes, I guess, in waves. But I do notice that if I have uncovered a trauma or an experience and, so the overflow from that, usually there's tears because I'm pretty good at getting those out. But then there's a body release as well, which can present itself as like a rash on my back, itchy, irritable skin, on my chest or back of heart.
Yeah. So generally around that back of heart area too, that's like unresolved past things, like behind you,
because
your chakras are front and back.
Yeah.
So that's another reason as well to like really show up for this kind of stuff, because, you know, we can't ever show up in our true form and be manifesting a life that we truly want to create when we've got these areas that are blocking down our natural energy flow and our chakra flow.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
So the trapped emotions, they do present themselves in the body quite, if we're listening to our body, then they can speak quite loudly. And I guess, you know, the longer we hold them, the louder they get.
And the physical ailments, so the body talk will become stronger. And then if we hold that trapped or stored energy emotion over enough layers as well, then basically we start to get into the more long-standing chronic type illnesses as well.
But if we do ignore them, we can then pass them down to our children, or our parents might have passed them down to us, so it's still that lineage lineage and generational thing that stored emotions can be passed down as well.
We actually had a situation at the beach the other day, hey, and we're both coming back from a nice lay down at the beach, and we're walking back to the car, and we saw this lady that was just maybe in her mid-40s, and she had these two beautiful little children around. The little boy was chasing seagulls, and there was another little girl that she was basically dragging along. Like, she was very small. They looked like they wouldn't have been 3 or 4 years old. And, you know, the boy was just having the most amazing time. He was on the grass. He was safe, just chasing seagulls. And she was just yelling at him. And the little girl, like, that she was dragging along by the arm, just, like, flicking her ear, saying all of these mean negative comments. So, you know, it was quite an interesting situation for both Tammy and I. Like, we really felt it.
It was quite traumatizing, actually. Yeah, it was. It was really traumatizing because it was hard not to say something without coming from a place of, anger. But yeah, and we talked about it afterwards and talked about, you know, how sad it must be, how sad she must be to be treating her children like that. And how has, you know, how has her life been? How has she been affected? And this is the stuff that you really notice on a deeper level. And I guess coming from a compassionate point of view to, you know, want to help people that are in that situation, want to bring an awareness to what we're doing, what we're passing down to our children. And, you know, I mean, just about every parent would have said, oh my God, I sound like my mother.
Mm.
Or, you know, oh, I'm just like my dad. Okay, so let's not just say it. Let's actually look into that and go, okay, so I have a moment to choose in every given situation. Do I want to be like that, or can I choose something different?
Mm. And we had a little conversation about that, because we didn't say anything in that moment. But, you know, we had a conversation the next morning as we're sitting having just a coffee on the back lawn. And, you know, Tammy asked what I thought about it. And I said, well, actually, if we had have gone in that moment with what we were feeling, or that little burst of anger, you know, that wouldn't have really landed or hit home with her anyway. In fact, that would have just created more conflict, because she was a pretty...
Yeah, well, you can't fight fire with fire, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have to come from a compassionate, loving place. And I guess this is opening our hearts, opening our hearts to have compassion for even people that on, you know, on the front, they might look really, you know, evil or nasty, but really just understanding that no person is actually born evil. No person is actually born with this hate or this anger, you know. Like, we're all just, we've had experiences and traumas throughout our lives, you know, present or past, that have affected us and that have built up these walls to, you know, protect us.
Yeah.
But they just, they don't protect us.
Yeah. And I guess just leading in now to, you know, the topic of codependency, because a lot of us, you know, have either experienced or are in codependent relationships. And, you know, it's really sneaky, because we don't even realize what we're running, because generationally we have just shown a movie, and up to the age of sort of like 8 years old, we just, our whole frontal cortex has not developed at that stage. So we're basically just absorbing whatever we've been shown. And so whatever that movie is like, you know, I always ask each client. Yeah, I always ask each client, what was mum and dad's movie like growing up? How did that look? And, you know, in the surface, the client might start like just, oh, no, it was okay, mum and dad were good. But then not even sort of a couple of minutes in later after that point, it's like, oh, hold on, actually, dad. And I'm like, did mum and dad show each other any love? Did they communicate about their emotions? You know, and then all of a sudden, the cracks start forming, and you start to get the story really quickly.
Yeah.
And then we start folding back in and reflecting, and some of the tears come on type thing. So again, there's walls and layers that are trying to keep us protected. And even in a lot of relationships, we're running these programs of codependency just out of safety and security. But at the same time, what's the sacrifice of doing that as well? You know, are we living the most beautiful, inspired lives? Like, you know, we can be in amazing relationships, but still have our own space, and allowing our partner's space to be themselves without trying to control everything.
Well, control is not really very loving at all.
So yeah, so codependency, so that's something we're going to touch on in the course that we've got coming up.
Yeah. So, and also, sorry.
So when we store, let's segue from what happens. So we store this information. That information then can transpire into thoughts. A thought that we think over and over again then becomes a belief. And then once we have a belief formed, basically every interaction that we show up in, whether that's at home with our children or even at work, we're only going to be able to show up at the capacity with whatever our belief systems are. Like, you know, because someone can...
Yeah, and that's when patterns and cycles start forming as well, because they're all around our beliefs. And we'll just keep running the same thing. And, I guess, like, actually honouring that it's okay to change our beliefs in any given moment.
Absolutely.
You know, we have the ability to say, actually, that belief doesn't serve me now. It may have served you for the first part of your life, but now... not so much. So let's change that belief.
Yeah, absolutely. So with those programs though, like with every interaction, you know, someone can, like especially talking about the heart space, someone can offer us a really nice gesture, or they could offer to pay for something, or they might say, hey, you look really nice today, babe, or you're looking really sexy. But then if we've got these heart walls and these layers up, everything that happens just goes through these layers of filters. Hey,
yeah.
We don't even receive it.
Yeah. I've got some good examples here because not only myself, and I'm learning to be better and accept compliments, but I have many friends that do this too, and family. I'd say probably just about everybody on some level, especially in New Zealand, we're quite a sarcastic bunch of people.
It's our second language.
but you know, if somebody's complimented you, it's so easy to sarcastically make a joke about it, to self-sabotage yourself. You know, hey, you look great in those jeans. Oh, yeah, but, you know, my hips are looking a bit fat today. With a laugh, you know, just to add a bit of, like, it's okay to say that. But on a deeper level, what we're doing is we're not accepting the compliment. We're blocking it. We're blocking the love that comes with that compliment. It's very widely rife in our world. So it's important that if somebody does compliment you on something, to actually just say thank you and leave it at that. Like, don't go into the, oh yeah, but I, you know, I haven't had my hair done, or my hair's really oily today. Like, if someone says your hair looks great, say thanks.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, but I haven't washed it for 3 days. Are you sure it doesn't look like shit?
My classic used to be, like, if someone offered to pay for something like a lunch or a beer or something, then I'll be like, oh, yeah, but I'll get it next time.
Mm.
You know, so basically in that moment, it's just like saying, well, actually, I haven't fully accepted this.
Yeah. I don't value myself enough to accept to be paid for, or...
Yeah, and again, I think that's been a really strong thing in my lineage. And I notice even with Dad, you know, like everything's kind of written down in a black book.
Mm.
Like, no matter how small the value, and it was kind of like, I can only imagine what life experiences we've been through, where, you know, everything was bartered and traded.
Mm.
And it was always like, no, you must keep a note and a record of this type thing. So I noticed a lot of those patterns, especially through the male line. But yeah, once you can identify them, then we can start to challenge them and, you know, be really good lineage breakers.
Yeah. And we both do that, don't we? And when we asked Noah, John's son, I can't remember what conversation we were having, but we said, oh, you know, we don't really fight, do we? And he said, oh, the only thing you guys ever fight about is who's going to pay.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. But it also brought it to light for us, yeah, because it was, and, you know, like, we weren't accepting from one another. And I mean, it's very equal, and it's very, you know, one day John will get it and one day I'll get it. And, but we still had to have that, oh, no, you know, let me pay half, or da 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 da.
Yeah.
So
we're getting better now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, we are. Well, especially after Noah brought it to light. But yeah, so listen to what your children say.
Yeah. Let's just, I guess, talk about from there, like, also leading into, you know, things like around law of attraction and that as well. And even, you know, the partners that we attract, or the relationships that we attract, or the challenges that we attract as well. Because, again, you know, I love diving deep on these topics, because I know if someone has come in with certain health issues or body issues or mental, emotional, spiritual issues, it's like, okay, cool, that's the point of attraction. But what is the belief underneath, or where is the original,
what's the root cause?
Yeah, the original root cause of that. And that's why I love the energy work, because when you go and find that root cause, you can not only work through, like, one emotion in a session, you can clear, like, a bunch of them, including like inner child experiences or past life experiences in the one session.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really profound when you see someone that's come in with a locked up neck or a locked up shoulder, or a really big pain in their heart, that it just instantly shifts when you get to the right emotion. So that's, you know, I've been incorporating a bit more this year around the emotion code, and, you know, specifically targeting different emotions. And it's been really interesting seeing just as another tool in the soul detention kit.
The inner child thing's huge, because I'd say that that is where a lot of walls are formed.
Absolutely.
In our childhood. And especially, you know, if there's been abuse or manipulation or trauma within a childhood, and even not, you know, like I would say that my childhood was actually really great, but I still have inner child wounds, and I still have walls from, you know, like, and, you know, like everyone just about, parents have split, and, you know, at that age, and what were you feeling, and what walls went up around that time, you know, feeling abandoned by my father, and, you know, all of these things. But I had a great childhood. You know, I wasn't abused. I wasn't, you know, none of that yucky stuff happened to me, but there's still stuff there, even in, and I guess that's where you say, where clients come in and say, no, you know, childhood was all good. But actually, there is so much deeper stuff, even in a good childhood.
Mm.
And then there's the even more deeper levels if there has been abuse or manipulation and trauma.
So again, talking about the heart walls as well and trapped emotions. So the ego's role and function specifically is not only to separate us between lifetimes for new and fresh experiences, but also on the inner child level, it is very strategic at blocking out stuff. Mm. So a lot of, again, a lot of clients are into 40s, 50s, 60s even, and they can't remember certain times, or they've just completely forgotten about it. But when you go back and you can uncover that memory and the emotions and even what they had experienced, you know, it's amazing how much
is stored in the body.
Yeah, stored, like smells, the
and
people.
Being repressed.
Yeah, so again, once we get to that, you know, this is the real benefit, I guess, of all this doing work, of like, if we can leave a message with this, even around the workshop as well, this is the importance of doing this work, because when you shift these emotions and these experiences, you instantly notice a shift in your life and what you can manifest.
Yeah, in your reality, because when you change on the inside, the outside automatically changes, because it must, it's your point of attraction. It's the law of attraction. Yeah, which, you know, there'll be further workshops on that, because that segues into every single topic anyway. Cool. Okay, so the Sacred Heart Healing Workshop is a Zoom online workshop on Wednesday the 17th of February from 7 till 9 p.m. New Zealand Standard Time. We'll put the link underneath this podcast, but you can also find the link to the Eventbrite page on my Instagram, Tammy Hansen Love, and John's Instagram at Introspect.
Healing NZ.
Healing NZ. And we're really looking forward to helping people uncover some walls, letting down the walls, just opening up to a greater sense of love and deeper connection within their relationships, within their self. We didn't actually touch on it here, but we will be touching on it in the course, because this does go into, you know, your sexuality and your intimacy with yourself and within relationships, because there's definitely, when there's heart walls, there's definitely blocks even to receiving love on an intimate level. It really, really goes deep.
Yeah, we've got plenty to share on those topics as well.
Have.
But we'll do that. We'll do that for the actual course instead of blanking it around the world on a potty. So, and for anyone, we're going to get this podcast up today and on the 15th here in New Zealand. So for anyone that does purchase today, they get a discount on the tickets for early bird price as well.
Yeah.
So the tickets are available on the Eventbrite store, and also through the Facebook at Introspect Healing NZ, and in our Instagram bios. Outside that, it'll be really cool to just make new connections, and, you know, even to have a supportive group and family, you know, because we're not all in the most high-vibing situations at the moment. Mm. Like, a lot of us are potentially stuck in places and situations right now in isolation where we actually just need a little bit of space, a little bit of support, a little bit of people talking about, you know, the heart, and that everything's going to be okay, and that we're all in our journey of growth and learning. So yeah. If it resonates, we'd love to see you there. If you know people that
might really need this,
we'd love you to share the podcast or any of our posts. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it, and looking forward to combining our little superpowers together.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, have a good day, everyone.
Bye.